discover the inherent power of God in you.
Whether there are challenges or not, we are still the same. We are constant. God is constant. God does not change. And that is the life that we have received. He says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is the same life we have also received. We are also the same yesterday, today, and forever. What kind of life? We are the same because we have the same life with Christ. So when you think about God, think about you. Because everything He is, that is why He told Abraham, He said, I am your exceeding great reward. God gave Himself as a reward to Abraham. And we are the seed of Abraham. Therefore, we have inherited God Himself.
Listen to Pastor Oti Boateng as Christ is magnified.
Father, we are grateful, we are thankful. Thank you for this opportunity to be blessed, to receive from you. Speak to us this morning. We are ready to receive from you, even as you have allowed us to minister to you. Minister to us in a wonderful way, to your glory. Grant us open hearts to receive from you, even in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Well, this morning we have a great man of God with us. Hallelujah. He's been a friend. I don't know if you remember him. I think he was here about 3 years ago. 2 years ago. 2 years, right? Yeah. 2 years ago. Wow. Is this 2 years ago? Amazing. It's true. It's 2 years ago. Yes. What a shock. Ladies and gentlemen, it is an honor to receive. He's here with his sister and with one of his sons. Ladies and gentlemen, and with his beautiful wife as well, I want us to receive the ministry of Reverend Echo Eshen, my friend and brother. Please, you are welcome. Keep clapping as he comes, keep clapping as he comes.
Wow, it's a blessing to be here this morning. Bishop has said many things, but it's truly an honor to be here, to stand where the bishop, the set man of this house stands, to stand where my father, Prophet Adam, stands, to stand where many great men, Reverend Dr. George, many bishops from Lighthouse have stood. So I don't take this lightly. It's a great opportunity. Hallelujah. This is what I want to speak to you about, how honor affects the anointing. Hallelujah. I know many of us pray for anointing. Lord, anoint me. Anoint me so that I can fight demons. Anoint me so that I can defeat the enemy. Anoint me so I can do all kinds of things. But I've come to understand that one of the greatest assets that God gave man is what we call relationship. It's one of the greatest assets that God gave man, relationship. And God designed human beings to be relational beings. Hallelujah. We are designed to be relational. Let me get to my notes here real quick. All right. So we're designed to be relational. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. All right. So we are designed to be relational, and no man is an island. Your connection to people is your key to success. So relationships are doors. And if you break that word into two, there's a ship in there. And ships are built to transfer or transport things from one place to the other. It also means that relationships are meant to get us from one place to the other. And that is why you must have all kinds of relationships, but most importantly, godly relationships. Praise the Lord. We have family relations. We have all kinds of interesting characters in our families. But the most critical one is your relationship to God, your relationship to your set man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've also come to understand that honor is a mystery. Are we in the house? Anna is a mystery. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Anna is a mystery, and so is the anointing. Ephesians chapter 1, chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. It says that children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And it says that honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. So it means that if you want to live long, there is this mystery that we need to understand. The mystery of honoring our parents. Praise the Lord. And just like honor, anointing is also a mystery. Anointing is something that comes upon an individual and causes us to do supernatural things. Anointing is supernatural. It's a supernatural empowerment from God. And I believe that, and I know that this house, we truly understand how anointing works. We really understand how Anna works. Amen. You cannot be in a church like this and struggle in life. If you're in this church and you're struggling, it means that there's something wrong with you. It's not the church. Because it's a good church. Your bishop understands how to walk with God. So if there's something not going right in your life, check yourself. Are we in the house? Yeah. Find one of the pastors. If you can't get to bishop, find one of the pastors and ask them how. Ask them for help so they can help you to become a better person. Understand how to walk with God. It is not just about screaming and shouting. Yes, the anointing works by proximity, true. But it also works by honoring the person that God has placed in your life. Are we in the house? So the anointing is a mystery. The anointing is the manifestation of the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. The anointing is divine enablement and empowerment from God. The anointing can be upon an individual, or it can come upon an individual in many, many ways. Praise the Lord. You can receive anointing by fasting and praying. You can receive anointing by reading the word. You can receive anointing through prayer. Are we in the house? You can receive anointing by going into, for lack of a better term, isolation with God. You are in a place, just you and God, one-on-one. And the Lord will anoint you. Praise the Lord. But I want us to look at this from a different angle. The anointing and how Anna causes it to work. Because anointing comes upon us for us to work. But there are times where the anointing comes upon us so that others become beneficiaries of that anointing. So as you are seated here, you are a beneficiary, first of all, to the call of, or for Bishop's response to the call of God on his life, we are all beneficiaries to that. If he had not said yes to God, I wonder where we would be. Are we in the house? You probably be in a certain church that wears white with a red robe. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? You may be somewhere where you go to church and there are all kinds of bells ringing and all kinds of things happening. If he had not responded to the call of God. But also, after responding to the call of God, he had to build a relationship with God. And we're all beneficiaries of the anointing upon his life. Sometimes people are given opportunities to start a church. And after a while, maybe in Ghana we are holy, so we don't really do that. But where I'm coming from, after a while, they will take the decision or make a decision that they are good to go and they will take their church. Because they believe that it is their anointing that is causing the church to prosper. And it's a grievous mistake. And they don't realize that once you leave, it is actually the anointing upon the set man that is causing the church to grow and prosper. And you leave and realize that you have disconnected yourself from grace. That is what happened to Lot. Lot was a beneficiary of the anointing and the grace upon the life of Abraham. But when Lot began to prosper, the Bible says that Lot's workers and Abraham's workers began to have issues. Lot should have been wise enough to rebuke his workers and said that, look, you are only here because of what I get from this man. Because I benefit from the grace on his life, you are also here. You are working for me. So Lot should have rebuked his workers, but he didn't. And the moment he walked away, If you go back to check, Lot didn't prosper. He didn't prosper. So if you're in a place like this, learn to connect. Lot dishonored his uncle. Because, you see, Abraham is a very wise man. When he realized that it was becoming an issue, he walked him to a place and said that pick. You know, even by our tradition, the younger does not pick before the older. So Lot should have said, uncle, I'm sorry. My people misbehaved and they influenced me to do certain things. But for where we have come to, please, you pick. But Lot, out of greed, looked at the area which looked like it was flourishing. He didn't understand that the success was not based on the land, but rather based on what Abraham carried. So when you work with people, don't think that, you know, like he said, I submit to Prophet Elim. I can just say, you know, I'm in America and I speak American English. So, you know, what business do I have dealing with, you know, somebody in Ghana? But we are wiser than that. Yes, we are wiser than that. Are we in the house? So you get to a place where you realize that, no, I have to understand spiritual things. When I'm working with people and I'm dealing with people, the Bible says that know ye no man after the flesh. That was Judas's problem. Judas was one who worked with Jesus. He was within close proximity, but never truly submitted to him. Are we in the house? So the Bible talks about the yoke is broken because of the anointing and all these things happen. But in order to be a beneficiary of the anointing, you must learn to honor. In Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 13 and 4, Jeremiah 3, 14 and 15. Can you help me with that? 14. It says, turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you to a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to what? Zion. And we all know what Zion is. All right, keep going. And it says that, and I will give you pastors according to mine heart, who shall what? Feed you with knowledge and understanding. Meaning that if you don't submit to the pastor that God has appointed unto us, we will lack in what? Knowledge and what? We will lack in what? Knowledge and understanding. It's not about reading books. It's not about doing 21 days fasting and 40 days fasting and 100 days fasting. If you don't know how to submit to authority, you will just lose weight for nothing. It's not a spiritual exercise. It's a physical exercise. Are we in the house? Now, Acts chapter 10, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went about doing good and healing. So these people became beneficiaries of the anointing on the life of Jesus. Except for his humanity, he didn't actually need the anointing. But for those that he would come into contact with, he needed to be anointed so that they can benefit from the anointing on his life. And then he, apart from doing good, he was healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. When the anointing came upon him, God was with him. Any man who is anointed, God is with them. It is clear that God is with Bishop. Are we in the house? If you're a frequent flyer, you know some. If you're a frequent flyer, okay, because Bishop knows some, let me change the story. I was listening to a story of Bishop, he's not Bishop, but Reverend Eastwood Anaba. I don't know why he doesn't want to be Bishop, but Reverend Eastwood, he said he got on a flight and there was this young man who was also on the flight with him. And the young man walked up to him and said, oh, Papa, if you are here, I know the plane will not crash. And he said he himself, he was concerned about the flight. But the guy had, you know, confidence that if a man of God is on the aircraft, he will not crash. The same way, if you are connected to a man who's anointed, know that you will never crash in life. You will not crash in life. Because God is taking you somewhere. And the one who is in charge of the ship, the captain of the ship, you are not the captain of your ship. The Holy Spirit is. So if God says, in 5 years, I will cause you to do this, it means that no matter what the devil does, you will not die today. You will not die next year. You will not... as until that word has been fulfilled, you have no business leaving. Where are you going? Where are you going? We don't need anointing in heaven. Oh, are we in the house? Yeah, we don't need anointing in heaven. That's why a man died. His bones were in the grave. And when they threw a dead body there, the anointing was still active. The bones were just not responding to the anointing. But when somebody else came into contact with it, it responded. There's power here. There's anointing in this church. This church is blessed. I said, this church is blessed. The anointing is from God, but it's for men and for the benefit of men. Hallelujah. But you see, when he talks about this same scripture, this kind of anointing works by honor. So in places where Jesus went, that he wasn't able to do much, it's because the people dishonored him. I used to tell my wife a lot that a church that does not honor their pastor doesn't grow. So when you go to a church and the church is struggling, check the people. They don't honor the pastor. They don't understand. It's pastor. It's not just pastor. How can you just relate to a man who has spent time with the father? So you remember the story of Miriam and Aaron? And when they misbehaved towards Moses, God rebuked them. That was the first conference call in the Bible. So there's nothing new under the sun. You know, the people, the inventors, they're just scaring us with all kinds of things. But the thing is, it's in the Word. It's in the Bible. Are we in the house? Yeah. Just like microwave. The Hebrew boys were in the heat. And, technology. Look, man can never beat God. So whilst they were in the oven, there was heat in the oven. But even the smell of the smoke couldn't get on them. And there was another in the fire. And a man who was fighting gospel said, I see one. Who taught him how the Son of God looks like? Sometimes it's not about debate. People sit on radio and talk all kinds. They haven't met God. So pray that they meet God. Because when you meet God, it's not time for argument. Can you imagine Paul saying, oh, this light. Paul didn't need to say anything. The light blinded him. The people around him all fell under the power. How can you get up and say, I'm still a powerful man? You will submit. Are we in the house? All right. So Mark chapter 6, verse 1 through 5. I want us to read a few scriptures. So the power of God, the anointing that came upon Jesus. Jesus went to a place, and the Bible says that, and he went out from there and came into his own country. His own country. Sometimes you're in Accra, so people call you bishop and daddy and pastor. But the day you enter your village, you say, hey! Isn't that Mr. Kumsin's son? Isn't that the guy we used to play soccer with? And today he says he's a big man in Accra. But in our village, we are all the same. So Jesus went back to his village. And then his disciples also followed him. Keep going. And Jesus used this opportunity to teach the disciples how to honor. And how honor works with the anointing. So you can stand and God anoint my head with oil. So that when I step out and the demons see me, they will flee. If you don't honor, it will not work. And pick it. It will not pigment. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence had this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works were wrought by his hands? I keep going. Is not this the carpenter's son? Oh, but we know him. We know him. We know him. Oh, Mr. Kwame, but his father was a chief fisherman in the town. You know, when he was young, he used to go and steal small fish and come and rap the area girls. We know him. Oh, we know his brother, John. We know his brother, Judas. We know his brother with his sister, Alice. And your village people always expose you. Oh, they always expose you. They will try to expose you. But God is our help. Amen. And they told us who Jesus' siblings are. Wow. And I'm not his sisters here with us. My sister is here. And they were off. And look, go back to verse 2, please. Go back to verse 2. The Bible begins by saying that when they heard the word, they were astonished. So what entered their heart? That in verse 3, now they were offended. Because somebody told them that this man is not a special man. Oh, the other day he came to fix my bed. I gave him 5 Ghana. He was negotiating that he wanted 10 Ghana. Oh, yeah. You know how you took your car to the mechanic and the mechanic charged you 500? He said, no, it's too much. So I said, you are tight and you are negotiating. And the mechanic is saying, no, I will not agree. Then suddenly his son comes and begins to prophesy. Say, my friend, your father has taken my money. I don't want any prophecy. I'm in the house. Yeah. And when we do that, we haven't honored the unction upon the person. So they got offended. Verse 4. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, amongst his own kin, and in his own house. Yes. Your own house. You know, so Kweku, we know Kweku. Kwame, we know Kwame. Adwa, we know Adwa. We know you. When did you also start singing? Hey. When did you also start playing the drums? When did you even become a pastor? Are you sure you've been called? As though God needs their permission to call us. When I became a pastor, one day somebody said, oh, he's not showing me I'm a proper pastor. I said, it's because he's from the village. If you're from the village, you can't understand certain things. His worldview is limited. When God has called us to the nations, you are talking about staying in the village. How so? So the anointing does not work by proximity, it works by honor. The woman with the issue of blood. There were people that all around Jesus. Some were robbing on him. I'm sure somebody was trying to pickpocket Jesus. All kinds of things. Oh, you think pickpocket started today? People were faster in those days, oh. Yeah. So while Jesus is ministry, somebody's looking for the purse. And they realize it's Judas who has the purse. And they realize, oh, thief man, no go fit thief man. This is Kaswa. Hey. I'm from Kaswa, I don't like that. Yeah. Somebody's trying to pick Jesus, somebody's rubbing on him, some girl is trying to see if Jesus will check her out. Hold on, let me calm down. You see, watch this. People forget that Jesus was also a human being. So some of the chicks were saying, this man, check like the ministry they do well, money day. So, you know, let me rub on him small. As I rub, something will click. But I'm not picky, it has picked. Meanwhile, Jesus was a man on a mission. He wasn't looking at those things. So some girls were doing all kinds of things, wearing all kinds of clothes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. As we're here, somebody's targeting Bishop. Hey! Am I speaking to angels? Hey! Oh, yeah. We know them. Bishop, you know them. Mommy knows them, and she draws them close to her. Yeah. Wow. I see. The woman said, if I may but touch the hem of his garment, it's a sign of honor. It means that everybody will be rubbing on him for whatever reason. Some of them were hungry. The other day he gave bread and fish. Maybe tomorrow it will be steak. So let me get close so that, he will help fulfill my hunger. But see, this woman said, if I may but touch the hem of his garment, this thing that has been bothering me for 12 years will cease. It means that for 12 years, she wasn't honoring the right people because she has spent all she had on doctors. There are certain things doctors cannot fix. In my country, there are many things doctors can do. all kinds of equipment, all kinds of machines, all kinds of cancers, they can heal all kinds. But there's a limit. There are times when they'll say, this one, except God. That is clear. So the woman said, if I may, if I can only honor this man, not to touch his head, because you must be careful which part of the pastor you touch. Oh my God. You must be careful which part of the church, which is the body of Christ that you mess with. You must be careful. So let me touch the hem and I'll receive my healing. And she proceeded. Meanwhile, Judas was just chilling with the boys. Oh, the money day. Ah, look at the crowd. Offering they come. He was in close proximity with the anointing, but he did not benefit from that anointing. You see, I was looking up the first time Judas was mentioned in the Bible, and it's very strange. Judas, watch this. The first mention of Judas in the New Testament is in the books of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And he's named among the 12. Let's look at the first one. Matthew chapter 10, verse 4. Matthew 10, verse 4. And the Bible says, Simon the Canaanite and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed Jesus. The first time he was mentioned, they spoke about his character. He betrayed. Watch Mark chapter 3, verse 19. Mark 3, 19. And Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him, and they went into an house. Uh-huh. And then Luke chapter 6, verse 16. Watch this. Luke 6, 16. And Judas, the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was what? The first mention of his name in the Bible wasn't that he followed. Because some of them, the first mention was that, follow me, and they followed. This guy, his introduction is a dangerous one. And Jesus knew about it, but he kept his cool. The first time Judas is mentioned, the Bible speaks of his character. What a way to be introduced in the Bible. Such a key figure in the ministry of the Jesus Christ evangelistic ministries worldwide. A key figure, the treasurer. Ah, he was key. Jesus had many, he had more than 12, many, many disciples. And when he began to teach them, they got offended and they began to leave. He was left to the 12. And he asked, Peter, are you also going to leave? Hey, but you have the words of life. If I can sit under this anointing, I will not lack anything in life. Sometimes we're in a hurry to do our own thing. We're in a hurry. I started going to Victory Bible Church in 2003. A few days before the Reverend Kenneth Hagin passed away. And during, it was an all-night service. And my bishop played a video of Kenneth Hagin ministering powerfully under the anointing. And that day, God visited me. I thought I was a wild guy. But God showed me I'm only human. To me, I was doing my own thing. And God showed me that there's a better plan for my life than chasing after useless things, feeble things, things that don't matter in life. You may be seated here and you are wild in your mind. But God is saying that he has a calling upon your life. He has a better life for us. If only we can submit to those who have gone ahead of us in life, will do well. Me, I don't care about age. If you're anointed, I want to know your secret. I'm not coming for the anointing. I want to know how you are able to do what you do. Many people like the glory, but they don't want to know the story. They don't want to know, you know, the sacrifice behind the glory. For every glory, there's a sacrifice. So I had gotten my documents to leave Ghana. And at the time, Victory Bible Church were building our headquarters. It was costing us millions of dollars. So we were raising funds. And I had some money with me. I think at the time it was about $400. And in my mind, I said, you know, let me buy treasury bills. Because as I'm going, this country, dear, oh my God. The only country that has demon of potholes. You know what the demon of potholes is? Oh, do you know the demon of potholes? Man. As you are driving, you see them and you have to decide quickly within a split second whether to go for the lesser evil or just go into the bush or pop a tire, something. And then they'll be smiling. When you pass and you check your mirror, they'll be smiling. Oh, okay. We didn't get you this time. There's another one coming up. We've sent the smaller ones ahead. And my brother said, oh, you know, why don't you take this money and sow it into the church building and see what the Lord will do. And at the time, I calculated, man, treasury bills. I mean, I could come back any day, any time. But if I invested that money over 15 years ago, it would have been a lot of money today. Except that somebody came and gave us haircuts, more small. But but the Lord is our help. Yeah. So I said, you know, I want to do treasury, but I battled a little bit. Then finally, I gave in. That was Pastor Chris. He said, just sow the money. So I took the money, went to church, and sold it into the church building. I mean, the building was costing millions of dollars. My $400 wouldn't do anything. But at least, it's a sacrifice. Left Ghana, went to America. Within 30 days, I got my first job. Wow. Meanwhile, there's people who've been there for many years and haven't been able to achieve much. And I devoted my life to God because I went into an environment where the devil, your bishop told me something that I love. Can I say it here? The devil is licking our brain. So we think that, oh, you know, in America, all things are possible. But without Christ, so somebody said it is possible, they didn't add Christ, so it didn't work. I'm from another country. I have a return ticket. I'll go back. I am undeportable. I said, I am undeportable. Oh, yeah. You cannot. What are you deporting me for? So, yeah. So, I went there, and within a short period, things began to work for me. Because a man stood on the stage, responded to the call of God on his life, and I submitted to him, and the grace on his life is working for me. Yeah. And my bishop calls me, he'll call me, you know, this and that. Even last night, he called me. Yeah. If you learn how to, yes, if you wash your hands well, you can eat with what? You eat with older men. That's a saying, right? Yeah. So I had to learn how to work with people. The first time I came into contact with Prophet Adam, he came to the house. We were just talking, and he gave me a word. I said, but this man, this thing you're telling me, there's some way. I was struggling to believe it. And the thing he told me and warned me about, it came to pass. Then I said, wow, you know, I must be careful with such people. And one day, you know, Bishop was talking about basketball. We have a basketball court in my house. So some guys came from Dansuma. We played basketball. And prior to playing the game with them, we looked at their stature. They were like the descendants of Goliath, Anak. And we, that time we were a little short. So I was concerned. So I told somebody something. But, you know, by the grace of God, we ended up winning the game. So I told somebody that, oh, Charlie, this person, and then I mistakenly added Prophet. Because at the time, we knew him after the flesh. We didn't know Ephesus gathering. So I said, oh, these people, they didn't believe we could win the thing. You see, the Holy Spirit, he's very interesting. He was listening. As we are gathered here, all kinds of spirits are here. Why are you surprised? We are not the only ones here. Yeah. So I think a few days later, he came to my house. I was going to go see him off. And he said, hey, you, the other day, you said this and this about me. I said, And so the Holy Spirit told him, from that day, I vowed never to gossip about him again. Whatever I said about him, he told me, ditto. Then I realized, Charlie, be careful what you say about people. Yeah. The Holy Spirit will snitch on you. So the thing you've been saying about Bishop and Mommy, the Holy Spirit is telling them, they just haven't confronted you. Yeah, the one you said last night. There are some suspects in that. During the conference, you say, oh, Bishop is speaking too long. We have to go and eat. Bishop is keeping us in the church all night. Meanwhile, in the Bible, Paul was having an all night. And somebody fell asleep. and then they fell down and died. They must be thankful for resurrection power. Because some of us, if we are poor, who sent you to die? Why are you sleeping whilst I'm preaching? My friend, keep dying. Stay dead. Are we in the house? But you see, everything that God designed was for a purpose. So he allowed us to have relationships so that we can learn from one another. Because when you connect to Bishop, he will carry you from a certain place to where God has designed for us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay. 2 Kings chapter 4 verse 1. 2 Kings chapter 4 verse 1. Let's learn to honor. Let's learn to honor. It will be a blessing to you. Don't join people who speak foul and evil about men of God. Oh, as for prophets, they've suffered though. I mean, I'm a pastor. The prophets, they've suffered. Oh, this prophet, they come and collect money. Oh, this prophet, this and that. Oh, every day is prophet. Oh. Oh. Now, there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elijah, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that my husband did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take my two sons. Every time I read this scripture, I get bothered because I'm wondering how much he owed. That did not come to just grab one, but two of his sons. You know what it means? They came to carry the seed of the man. Because the man carries the seed. So when they came, it was an act to cut off his generation. Because if we can take your seed into slavery, they have no future. How much do you owe? At the time, you couldn't go to a sperm bank, right? Yeah, not at all. So they came to take his seed. The only two seeds he had left behind. This was a prophet. He probably prayed, healed the sick, did all kinds of miracles, but his finances were in trouble. But I noticed that if he didn't teach his wife anything, he taught her how to honor. So the wife went to the prophet, the senior prophet, and said that this is my trouble. Verse 2. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? And then she narrated her issue. And she said, thine handmaid had not anything in the house save a pot of oil. In another translation, a jar of oil. My husband didn't leave me anything, but he left a jar of oil. Didn't understand the power of that little thing. Like Jesus spoke about the mustard seed. You may see people, they may look small in your eyes, but in the realms of the spirit, they are giants. At the time I knew your bishop, oh, we could walk to his house. But at the time, we didn't see love economy. At the time, we didn't see the Canadian churches, the American churches, the UK churches, the South African churches. We didn't see it. As you are seated here, you don't even see the Chinese church, the Japanese church, the Vietnamese church, the German church. You haven't seen it. As he said that, it's locked on the inside. And it is time that we reveal these things unto us. So he said, I have a small pot of oil. And the prophet said, go borrow vessels. A widow who is in need of financial help. We are telling her to go borrow. How wicked can you be? Yeah. And people have said that of the church. I was in trouble. I came to the church and the church didn't help me. I've quit the church. Where are you going? Yeah, take your church. No. We don't like the church anymore. Yes, and that's how we behave. But this woman heeded to the voice of the prophet. He said, go borrow vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not few. It means what? Borrow many. As many as you can. And when you have come in, shut the door behind you. Sometimes you have to shut the door. Sometimes there are too many voices speaking into your life. Sometimes there's too much social media. Sometimes there's too much TV. Sometimes there's too much radio. This is the country where I come and morning to evening, it's one party versus the other party, even at 11 p.m. And they are not providing solutions. They are only discussing problems. That's why you should go to church, because the church is a solution provider. The church solves problems. We don't create problems. Even God forbid, even if we create a problem, we have the capacity to fix it. So she went from there, shut the door upon her and her sons, and brought the vessels, and then she began to pour. Keep going. And it came to pass when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said, there is no more. And once there was no more, the oil stopped. Verse 7. Then she came and told the man of God. And he said, go, sell the oil. So at every stage in her life, she came to the prophet of God. Bishop released a blessing over you. You got a visa. And when you traveled, you forgot about us. When you were traveling, you were scared. You came. The bishop prayed over you for journey mercies. When you landed, he said, the country, that country. No. We are in America. In America, we don't do God and Jesus. We don't, you know, time, no day. It's all about hard work. It is not about hard work. The system only works for those who have the grace of God on their life. My people that came there in America, have been to America. It's not automatic. Don't be deceived. The system is working. They don't understand life. And the prophet said, now go. You know, when she got all this oil, she would be wondering, am I beginning to sell oil? Am I going to be an oil trader? Am I going to use it to cook rice? Am I going to do this? But she came for direction. Direction is more important than speed. But if you combine direction and speed, you will go very far. It's not about what you drive. It's not about what you wear. It's not about how much you make. Because no matter how much you make, there's somebody who makes more than you. And he said, go sell the oil. He said, this is where it's even mind-blowing. Pay your debt. How much were the two boys worth? How much did she owe that they were going to take those two boys away? $100,000, $500,000, we're in Ghana, so let's say 1 million Ghana cedis, or let's say even 10 million Ghana cedis. Because she became a beneficiary of the anointing upon the prophet of God, she had enough to offset her debt. And also, it says that, use it to what? Live on it. You and your children. Do you know how much boys eat? Do you know how much we eat? Mommy is here. Mommy is here. She will testify. Everything you buy, we'll consume and finish it. With grace. Even if it's casual, we'll scrape the bottom of the pot for you. But because she honored the man of God, she had enough to pay off her debt and enough to live on for herself and her two sons. Can you imagine if she dishonored the prophet? Prophet, I need financial help and you're asking me to go borrow vessels. What has vessels got to? At least give me something. My husband was submitted to you all these years. He was your student. He fed you. He did this. He fetched water for you. He went about doing all kinds of things for you. Today he's dead. We are in trouble. You are asking me to go borrow vessels. My husband served you. It wasn't enough. Now you want me to also serve you. Offense will enter our hearts. And right there, see these prophets that have come. Every day, they want to use people. They want to use people. I'm in the house. So let's be wise. It takes wisdom to honor people. Like I said, it's not about age. Oh my God. It's not about age. Somebody can start. And we say that a lot in Africa. I'm older than you. Even if you are 50 years and you haven't impacted anybody's life, it's just a number you are counting. Oh yeah. Can you imagine the people that Jesus fed? The 5,000 people, and they are coming to Jesus and telling, I'm older than you. You this 32, 33-year-old man. You are telling us to sit down. You will die hungry. Even in that passage, The anointing on his life worked because the people heeded to the instruction that he gave them. I have given you instruction. You are upset. Why should I come and vacuum the church? I'm a bank manager. Forgetting that somebody signs the check for your salary. Oh yeah. I'm a bank manager. You know, when I go to office, people worship me. So I don't know why I should be vacuuming the church. I think it was Pastor Randy was sharing a story about an MP. Yeah, Randy Impact. I watched it. Yeah. Sharing a story about a member of parliament or something like who comes to Accra to come and play drums. And this, if you are playing drums for God, it's a privilege. It's a privilege. It's a privilege. I love the drama. I love the drama. I love the drama. Oh, I'm sure it's a privilege. And anything you do for God and the church, you should see that's a privilege because there are many other people that God could have called. Professor Kwade was telling us a story. He said, and I think he's even shared this publicly. He said, God told him that what he's doing is not the first person that he told to do. What he's doing, the city is, he's not the first person he asked to do. He's the third one. The first person did not respond to what God was telling him. The second did not respond. If you don't respond, God is not short of people. He's not bankrupt of talent. So if God calls you, don't be giving excuse. Oh, I'm not ready. I want to make money small. Like God cannot feed us. Yeah, we behave like God is a poor man who wants to disturb us for no reason. No, I'm serious. Yeah. Before I left Ghana, I gave everything I had to God. God, this is my small $400. At least today I'm worth more than $400. By the grace of God. Yes. But there are people who have gone negative in life. At some point, they had so much. And because they dishonored people, dishonored God, didn't obey to instruction, all kinds of things. Rather than prospering, they were going backwards in life. But that will not be your story. I said, that will not be your story. That will not be your story. Look. I want to share one more thing with you before we close. So the woman heeded to the instruction of the prophet and she benefited from it. The anointing on Bishop and his wife is not just for them. It's for all of us. Yeah. So that it will be a blessing to you. Sit down, learn. If you are given an assignment, do it. You know, one of the things I tell my media, I said, we had a program and they were eager about certain things. I said, so me, when I preach on Sunday, you not go the extra mile. But when we have a guest there, we have to make sure everything is in order, you know. We have to go there. Okay. I say, hey, that is where you have missed it. That's where we missed it. Yeah. I said, every Sunday, give it your best as though it's your last Sunday. Because God forbid, if after that service, God calls you home, would you be proud of your last act? Would you be proud of your last act? Can you stand bold and say, indeed, I gave God my best? Yeah. I told him, I said, the business of, you know, the choir said they are specialists too. They can wait until Sunday to write their songs. Yeah. They wait Sunday morning. We are now writing the songs. We are listing it out. God is in our spirit. It's in our bosom. We can just pick. No preparation. And then we just come and I say, we are not looking for talent. We are not looking for talent. No matter how well you sing, there's somebody who sings better than you. I was in a conference, a worship conference. People came and ministered powerfully. I mean, they're all anointed people. But one person stood there. He raised a song. And I fell on my knees. the level is not the same. Don't be shouting, oh, but we are all anointed. Look, there are levels in God. Hey, Bishop, one person stood, ministered. By the time I realized, I was weeping. Meanwhile, others had come before him. Some people even had better voices than this person. I just entered a different zone. It's like, what an anointing. There are people who walk, and when they are walking, they carry presence. They carry presence. That's what was said of Joseph. The very being of God was with him. So when Joseph entered Potiphar's house began to prosper. So the very day, he dishonored the grace on Joseph. Rather than watching what Joseph had brought into his house, he was concerned about his marriage. And you know how God works? Joseph ended up in jail. At some point, became the second most powerful person. And Potiphar, who accused him, became his worker. Don't be worried when people don't like you. Just remind them and keep reminding them, one day you will work for me. Yeah. If I were Joseph, you know, if Joseph was a politician, please go and bring Potiphar and the wife. I want to show them something small. Just something small. Small. Yeah. So that I can show people. His brothers who betrayed him, they came. And Joseph, rather than being upset, turned his face to the wall. And the Bible says he wept bitterly. It means that Joseph was walking in forgiveness. You do something to him, he just lets go right away. Because he understood that the presence of God was more important than things that people did against him. Even if your pastor offends you, let it go. Who are you? We are all human beings. Look, human beings will always offend one another. One of the things I tell people, even my son, I tell him, it's not about how people treat you. What matters is how you respond to what people do to you. Because you can never stop people from saying certain things to you. Ah, check our airwaves here. We can call even the president all kinds of names. Because it's my own data. I bought my own credit. In fact, this morning, the Spirit of the Lord dropped something in my heart that shocked me. It might sound controversial, but I'm convinced that it's the truth. The reason Ghana is where it is today is because we have dishonored the people who run the country. We have insulted them, called them all kinds of names. So this country is not prospering. We think we are developing. Those of us who travel, every time we come, we don't see progress. And that's what the Lord ministered to me. The reason we are where we are is because we have dishonored our presidents, our vice president, in the name of policy, insult everybody. Yeah, you're with your pastor and you're behaving anyhow. Somebody, God told Moses, he told Miriam and the brother, this one, I don't talk to him like I talk to you people. Yeah, they're saying you're also a prophet. No. My relationship with Moses is not the same as my relationship with you. One of the things I've told the church, why I pastor, there are very few people who can move me in this world. Only 5 people in the world can move me. And those 5 people, because I hold them in high esteem, if they call me today and say, I need you here, I'll buy a ticket and go. Yeah. One day, one of them called me. They needed something. And I had to travel with it. I traveled all the way to Ghana to come and deliver something and go back. One time, one of them needed something. I sent my wife and kids. Because it was a lot of things, and it wasn't, you know, it couldn't fit in there, you know, with the allocated bag size. So I had to add my kids to it and say, come and deliver the thing. And the next day, come back to the US. It's not because we have it in abundance, it's because we understand the impact that these people have made in our lives. If there's anything I want to share with you, I want you to understand. Learn to relate and relate well. As for me, pastor is always sending me around. Keep going. Because out of it is your breakthrough. Keep going. Because out of it is your healing. I met, you know, sometimes when we come here, we get confused with, sometimes we don't typically use cash. So some of the cash, sometimes we get confused. It's like the thing you're counting and it's not counting and the counting is plenty. It's like, it's too much for me. I went somewhere to go buy something. And this young lady said, oh, that, you've given me too much money. I was shocked because it's, you know, other people have come into contact. They don't do that. No, I'm serious. Yeah, they'll just take it cool. You know, hey, it's stable. We went somewhere to go buy something. And the person, you know, took our 20 Ghana. And I said, they don't understand life. Me, 20 Ghana. Well, what is 20 Ghana to me? I said, if you do that, I may not react, but I will never buy from you again. So this young lady said, Daddy, you gave me too much money. I said, ah. I was shocked. So I took it back. She corrected me. She showed me, you know, I mean, she literally took the cash from hand and counted it for me and told me this one is for this. And then, you know, I said, okay, fine. So I took note of her and I started buying from her. A very honest person. Started buying from her. She calls me daddy, she calls my wife mommy. You know, we started building a relationship. Then I instructed the people I know around. I said, buy from this lady. She's a good woman. One day I walked into a shop. I bought something and she grabbed the book and began to write. I jokingly said, oh, you're calculating your profit. She said, oh, no, daddy, I'm writing down my tithe. For everything she sells, she'll go and record her tithe so that at the end of the week, she'll take it to church. So I took note again. I said, no, this woman, there's something special about her. Recently, my sister called me and said, the lady's husband is in a very bad state and needs prayer. And because of what she's done for us, I said, I will call him. I picked up the phone, called this man. I was told he had a stomach problem. And he had been given all kinds of diagnoses, including ulcer and kidney issues. All kinds of things. So I said, go grab communion. Call me. I'll provide. Fast forward, I prayed over the communion. The man took it. One morning, she called and said, Pastor, you will not believe this. I said, what has happened? He said, my husband went to the hospital. They ran the test. The stomach pain is gone. They ran the scan. They couldn't identify anything. His lungs is fine. The intestines are fine. In fact, they doubted it to the point. They doubted to the point that they had him recheck and go to a different institution. And I think even a third institution to go and check. Somebody who has had this problem for over 7 years. Over 7 years. Over 7 years. She didn't know I was even a pastor. She didn't know. And I don't readily just share that information. Because sometimes people behave a little funny towards you. Yeah. Because she honored and was truthful about her dealings with me, God used me to solve a problem that the doctors couldn't solve. Sometimes we take things for granted. We take people for granted. You don't know who you're dealing with. It's not about, do you know who I am? Not that business. You don't know who you're dealing with. Bishop came and caused an earthquake in our church. Preached a powerful message. And during the preaching, somebody walked out. And a leader of mine was concerned. And I said, this person, what do they know? When I'm dealing with a man who has built over 80 churches, you want to tell me you know more than him? You are not serious. You want to tell me you know something he doesn't know? You haven't built anything. And you are offended. Offended. Now offended. What a shock. I said, even me, the pastor, I was enjoying the message. You are offended. Anytime, just keep shaking the tables for us. Cause earthquake every time you come. We enjoy it. When my people hear Bishop is coming, they're like, man, we got to be in church. We got to be in church. That is a blessing. It's a blessing. And I'm closing. It's a blessing. I have many things written, but let me just... Please, I want to be invited back. Please, let's be on our feet if you can. Can you help me with this song? Your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name stands above them all.
All throne
and dominions, all power and positions. Your name stands above them all.
Your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name stands above them all thrones and dominions, all power and positions.
Holy, holy,
God bless you for listening. We pray that the Word of God will be rooted and grounded in your heart as you give attention to the Word. Kindly follow Pastor T and Love Economy Church on all social networks for more of God's Word. Don't forget to subscribe to the Pastor T podcast. Simply search for Pastor T on any podcast app, plug in, and enjoy God's Word. Visit our website at loveeconomychurch.org for more information. God bless.